the end. Couldn't hear the rest of you. Okay, so we're beginning our program of questions and answers. What we'll do, we'll pass around this clipboard, has paper and a pen, and you can write down any questions that you may have. Anything, basically anything within reason, to do with spiritual life, God, our relationship with Him, anything. Anything you'd like to find out a little bit more about, at least in relationship to Krishna consciousness. Free. It's all very anonymous. No one will know who has asked which question. So you can ask whatever question you like. Just to begin things, perhaps we can explain a little bit about the festival that we're having here, just to get the ball rolling a little bit. So this festival that we're having, this is called the Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival, otherwise known as the Festival of Chariots. But traditionally in India, the festival is known as the Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival. Jagannath is actually a name of God. Jaga or Jagad means this world, the world at large. And Nath means the Lord. So Jagannath then means the Lord of this world or the Lord of the universe. Like that. That is, of course, that is God, the Supreme Person. And Ratha Yatra, Ratha actually means chariot. Perhaps some of you were here the other day on Thursday when we pulled the chariot. The chariot now is down just in front of the main tent on the edge of the beach there. Quite a spectacular festival. We pulled the chariot from just up in the car park here down to the snake park, just down the way there, then back right along the beachfront itself to the end and then back to in front of where we are right now. So on that chariot, that Rath, there were deities of Jagannath, God in his form as the Lord of the universe, and his brother Balaram, and his sister Subhadra. They're being pulled in that chariot. I think right at this point now, they're sitting on the stage, or I'm not sure actually if they've arrived yet, but they'll be coming down and sitting on the stage today during the stage performance in the main tent. These three deities, Jagannath, his sister Subhadra, and his brother Balaram. Now, why? Why should the Supreme Lord have a chariot and be pulled in this chariot like that? One might well ask that question. So there's a very, very important story actually behind this festival, a real event involving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees and a great chariot that his devotees were pulling him on. So that story is that while Krishna was personally here on this planet approximately 5,000 years ago, Krishna was in his earlier years that he was present here on this planet, Krishna was living in a place in India known as Vrindavan. Vrindavan is an area like a sort of sub-province just south of Delhi in current-day India. So Krishna appeared in that area of Vrindavan. And Krishna stayed in that area for about 11 or 12 years. Now, Krishna, we're saying, is the Supreme Lord. He's not an ordinary person like us. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And in order to attract us, fallen conditioned souls, we belong actually in the kingdom of God, but unfortunately we have left that place and come here to this material world, the place of birth and death. So in order to attract us to return to the kingdom of God and once again enter into our eternal relationships with Him, so Krishna appears, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears from time to time on this planet and displays some of His very wonderful spiritual pastimes, very wonderful spiritual relationships with His devotees. So when people like ourselves, people in general, when we hear about these pastimes of the Supreme Lord here, then we can be attracted to hearing how wonderful they are, how wonderful Krishna is, what a unique person Krishna is. Then we can appreciate that, yes, this person, Krishna, God, this is the sort of person who I would like to associate with. This is one important reason why Krishna appears. Have a seat. So Krishna appeared, we're saying, about 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan, which is just south of current-day Delhi in India. And he lived in that Vrindavan area for about 11 years, approximately 11 years. Then after those 11 years, Krishna left Vrindavan and he went to a completely different area in India, right on the western side. Vrindavan is northern central India, more or less. So he went over to Dwarka, which is right on the coast, the western coast of India, in what is called now the state of Gujarat. The state of Gujarat. And so Krishna stayed there basically for the balance of time that he was present here on this planet. Krishna was present on this planet for about 125 years. So about 11 of those years were spent in Vrindavan. Then the balance 114 or 15 years was spent in Dwarka. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, we can just try and imagine a little bit. Krishna is God, the Supreme Person, such a uniquely wonderful person. We're all attracted to having personal relationships with other people. There's a saying that no man is an island. In other words, people need people. We like to have relationships with other people. We don't like to just live on our own, totally cut off from other people. So, here we all have relationships. We have family members. We have friends. We all have many people who we have relationships with. And in those relationships, due to the personal exchanges in those relationships, we experience much pleasure. So just consider, if you have a personal relationship with the Supreme Person, how wonderful is that relationship? We have our relationships with ordinary people within this material world, and we get something from that. But of course we all know that the average person in this material world, they have, of course they have many good qualities, perhaps, hopefully. They'll have some good qualities. But also it's pretty much unavoidable, they'll have some bad qualities. Isn't it? That's the nature of people within this material world. Everyone has some defect. So Krishna, or God doesn't have any of these defects. And he has all good qualities in full. So just consider, if you have a personal relationship with him, how wonderful that is. Actually, it's quite inconceivable for people like us who are used, basically we're used to having relationships just with ordinary people. So to have a personal relationship with God, who's so uniquely wonderful, that is quite inconceivable. So those people then who are living in Vrindavan with Krishna 5,000 years ago, they were very, very absorbed in their personal relationships with Krishna. And they were extremely happy, because Krishna is the perfect person. But then, after some years, after 11 years, Krishna left Vrindavan. And we've said he stayed away for 100 years, more than 100 years actually. So those people who were living in Vrindavan, when Krishna left, they were extremely heartbroken. Probably all of us, or many of us, have gone through the experience of losing someone who was very dear to us. Perhaps our parents may have died, or a brother or a sister, or someone who's very close to us. Perhaps we've all had that type of experience. So we all know that that's very, very distressing. Very. People often get quite bewildered when they lose someone who's very close to them. So just imagine if you lose the association of such a person as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To have his association is so wonderful, you can't compare it to having the association of an ordinary person. And to lose his association, well, that is quite devastating actually. So when Krishna left Vrindavan, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who stayed there after he left, they were quite devastated in separation from him. So day in and day out, for so many years, they lamented, where is Krishna? Is Krishna coming back? What are we going to do without Krishna? Very extraordinary experience for them. Actually, it's explained in one of the scriptures which describes quite elaborately Krishna's activities while he was here on this planet. It explains that while Krishna, for example, while he was associating with the gopis, gopis is one particular group of his associates in Vrindavan. So while Krishna was associating with them, they found his association so wonderful that time would fly. One night, because Krishna is God, so one night he associated with those gopis for the entire night, a large group of them. And they're having a very wonderful time together. So Krishna, by his great potency, Krishna is omnipotent, he has all potencies. By his unlimited potency, Krishna extended the length of that night. Instead of being just 6 or 8 hours or so, something like that, Krishna extended the length of that night. So that night, instead of being a few hours, he extended it to the length of 4,320,000,000 years. And they were busily associating with Krishna. And they were so captivated by Krishna's association that they felt that period of 4,320,000,000 years to be a few moments. They went and met Krishna at the beginning, like in the sort of early evening. Then they were associating with him, and then after some time, the sun started to rise. Actually, the period was 4,320,000,000 years. But they thought that what happened? We just met Krishna just a few moments ago, but now the sun is rising. They actually thought that the length of the night had been shortened, whereas actually it had been extended to 4,320,000,000 years. So this is just a little idea of what it's like to be in the association of the Supreme Lord, having personal, loving exchanges with him. Time just flies like that. So that was when Krishna was present in Vrindavan. The gopis and all the great devotees in Vrindavan, they felt that time was flying because they'd become so absorbed in their relationships with Krishna. They just lose track of time altogether. But when Krishna left Vrindavan after his 11-year stay there, then, as I said, all those inhabitants of Vrindavan, they were sitting, discussing together, where's Krishna? Where's he gone? When is he coming back? Should we go and try and find him? They were discussing this way in separation from him. So they felt, in separation from Krishna, they felt one brief moment to be like 4,320,000,000 years. Previously, when they were in his association, they felt 4,320,000,000 years to be just like a moment. But when he left, and they were feeling a separation, they felt one moment to be such an extremely long time. And one graphic example which illustrates this very nicely is that Krishna's topmost devotee, Krishna's topmost devotee is known as Radharani. Srimati Radharani, when she is in Krishna's presence, she would look at Krishna, but then her eyes would blink. We all have eyes which blink. But when our eyes blink, generally we don't even notice it. But actually our eyes do blink, and when they blink, then we don't see. It's just an instant, just like that, just a fraction of a second. But actually the fact is that we lose our vision for that very brief instant. So Srimati Radharani, she, when she would blink and she would lose sight of Krishna for a fraction of a second, she would feel very disturbed. And she accused the Creator. In the Vedic tradition, the Creator is understood to not actually be God himself. Creator meaning the engineer who takes all the ingredients and puts them together in this material realm. The Creator, according to the Vedic tradition, is known as Brahma, Lord Brahma. So, Radharani, she accused Brahma, the Creator, that you think you're a big creator. You created this material world with its planetary systems and everything is running systematically. But you're not a very good creator because you made eyes that blink. And when our eyes blink, we can't see Krishna. And that is very terrible. Even though that blinking time is just an instant, you can hardly say how brief the time is. So Krishna's association, Krishna's appearance is so beautiful that when these great devotees are separated from Krishna, even for an instant, they feel it to be very painful. So Srimati Radharani, she said that in my next life, I would like to be a fish. Because fish never blink. Fish's eyes stay open all the time. So she was thinking that in this way, I can see Krishna always. Anyway, this is just to give a little idea of what it means to associate with Krishna or God. And also what it means to lose his association. So we are saying that Krishna left Vrindavan. And all those people who are resident there in Vrindavan, they felt heartbroken in the extreme. in the extreme. Actually, we can't really conceive of it. The scale on which they are feeling distress. But it was certainly very, very great. So they were separated for many years. But then after many years, they met again. Actually, it was after about something like maybe 80 years. 80 years of separation. And then they met again. They met at a place known as Kurukshetra. Those of you who are a little familiar with Krishna consciousness would have heard of Kurukshetra. That's where the famous battle of Kurukshetra took place. That battle is referred to in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, after perhaps 80 years or so of separation, they met again in the same place, Kurukshetra, just shortly before the battle. Just a few short years before the battle. So they hadn't seen each other for so many years. So again, we can just try to consider how moving an experience it must have been to once again be united with Krishna, to be reunited with Krishna after so much pain and separation. So it was a very, very moving, a very, very touching scene of Krishna and his devotees being reunited. So Krishna, when he had left Vrindavan so many years before, he told the inhabitants of Vrindavan that, "Don't worry, I'll come back. Don't follow after me. You just stay here in Vrindavan. I'm going now, but I will come back." But then these 80 years or so passed, and he didn't come back. So when the inhabitants of Vrindavan met Krishna there in Kurukshetra, one of the first things they asked him was, "Are you going to come back? When are you coming back? Because you told us you were going to come back." And Krishna said, "Yes, yes, yes, you're right. I said I was going to come back, and I know I haven't so far, but don't worry. I will come back." Anyway, they were there for some days, actually a few weeks, in Kurukshetra. And the time came when they were to all go home. Krishna was to go back to Dwaraka on the western coast, as we said. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan were to go back to Vrindavan, more or less in opposite directions. So the devotees of Vrindavan went to Krishna on the last day and said that, "You have to come back." And Krishna said, "Yes, oh, don't worry. I will. I've already said on a number of occasions that I will come back. So don't worry. In a few weeks, a few days, a few weeks, I'll come back." So the inhabitants of Vrindavan said to Krishna that, "That's what you said 80 years ago. You already told us that, but you didn't come. So you're saying the same thing now, but we don't want to accept it. So what we're going to do, we're going to take you back." So they took Krishna, put him on his chariot, and they personally tied ropes on the chariot, and they personally pulled the chariot. We're talking now about approximately 200 or 300 kilometers. They pulled the chariot by hand all the way back to Vrindavan. And so they were reunited finally with Krishna in Vrindavan. So that is actually what this festival signifies. That Krishna is there, and the devotees place him on his chariot and tie ropes to the chariot and pull the chariot to Vrindavan. Of course, Vrindavan's a very special place. Of course, Vrindavan, as I said, it has a geographical location. It's some 120 or so kilometers by road south of Delhi on the way to Agra. So it's like a physical reality in this world. But because that town or that area of Vrindavan is so intimately connected with the Supreme Lord, he personally chooses to appear there. So that place has very great spiritual significance, actually. So here, as we are sort of reenacting this whole pastime, or as we did on Thursday, the idea is that the car park up there is something like Kurukshetra. At least we can think like that. And the Marine Parade, or whatever it is, these roads here, they're the roads from Kurukshetra back to Vrindavan. And the Bay of Plenty, I believe this little football field is called, for the time being, we can take to be Vrindavan. Anyway, we're going through the motions like that. And Krishna is allowing us to relate to him in this personal way. So that is the nature, that is the history, actually, the background to this Rath Yatra festival and pulling the chariot with the deity of Krishna and his brother Balaram and sister Subhadra, pulling them and bringing them, then having a big festival. Because when the inhabitants of Vrindavan got Krishna, finally, they pulled the chariot all the way back to Vrindavan. They reached the place. What did they do? They had a big festival that now Krishna has finally returned to Vrindavan. So that's what we're doing. We're having a big festival here with Krishna. And of course this is the Bay of Plenty in Durban. But because there's so much quite intense, very intensely focused spiritual activity going on, then at least we can take it that a very spiritual atmosphere is being created, which is something like, something reminiscent of the atmosphere in Vrindavan, Vrindavan itself. So then the question also arises, why do the deities of Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, probably those of you at least who have been here over the last few days will have seen that those deities which were on the chariot and which are on or will be on the stage today, they look a little extraordinary. They look actually a little strange, in fact. Normally a deity, as you see in our temple, for example, in Chatsworth, a deity looks very much human-like. All normal human features are there. But these Jagannath deities, they don't have exactly human features, like semi-human. Funny little arms sticking out and rather unusual-looking faces. Anyway, you'll see, you may have already seen. So why? Why is that? Why not just Krishna as we see him in pictures? There's so many pictures of Krishna. He looks very handsome, very beautiful, playing the flute, surrounded by his devotees. Very extraordinary looking person. But why these very odd looking figures, Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, as they appear in this festival? So the reason for that is that Krishna left Vrindavan and he was living outside of Vrindavan for so many years, 80 years perhaps. And then they met again in Kurukshetra, then they took him back to Vrindavan. So Krishna, as he was being pulled in the chariot back to Vrindavan, Krishna was feeling extremely excited, extremely enthusiastic that I'm going back to Vrindavan after so many years, to be reunited with my devotees in our place, in that special place, Vrindavan. So Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra, they became so overwhelmed, like the emotions that we're talking about here are far beyond the emotions that we're used to experiencing of love and feelings of separation and anxiety and separation, and then feeling exhilarated when reunited. The emotions involved here are far beyond what we have experience of. So Krishna was feeling so extremely exhilarated that he manifested this rather unusual form of Jagannath, and similarly Balaram and Subhadra. They manifested these very extraordinary forms. Now if you don't know what I'm talking about, have a look on the stage later on and you'll see on this side, on the side nearest the sea, the three deities are there and they look quite unusual. But you'll see their eyes are very big and round. And their smiles are extremely big. Because they're feeling that exhilaration, that excitement, that enthusiasm. So thrilled. Festival. Well, at least those are. That's a brief introduction to this festival. So we're going to try to answer a few questions here. If we run out of time, then there'll be other devotees coming along in the course of the afternoon who can continue answering questions. And for that matter, if any of you have, since the paper came around, since it went past you, if you've thought up a question that you'd like to ask now, perhaps we can send the board around again. Where is it? Oh, is it? I see. Okay. So just keep circulating it for the time being. So feel free to write down your questions, and we'll try to answer those questions as best as we're able. So we have a number of questions here, about, 13 or 14 questions. Different subject matters. First one, how about a question about reincarnation? When you're reincarnated, of course to some of you that may be a slightly revolutionary idea, that we may possibly be reincarnated, but our question is, when you are reincarnated, what do you come back as? Well, that depends. That depends. Like in all systems of religion, one of the fundamental points, I think in all cases, is that if you live in a certain way, then you will go to the kingdom of God. But if you don't live in that way, but you live in another way, then you won't go to the kingdom of God. You'll go somewhere else. Now, there may be different ideas about what that somewhere else is, but essentially it means just somewhere other than the kingdom of God as such. Now, what the qualification may be to enter the kingdom of God, that may also, or that would be, I'm sure, a point of contention. But I think we'd all agree that this basic principle is true, that if you come up to a certain standard, you can go.